The King album is a very personal album to me. I don't think that there's any album that would be made in this life that would top the King album for me. Because
that's cool.
Yes, because I worked on that project from start to finish, from the execution to the conceptualization to the execution to the distribution. So I put in my sweat and my blood. It was a passion project for me, and I'm very proud of it.
Hello guys, welcome to another episode of the Conversation with Imo podcast. In today's episode, I'll be talking to a super talented artist and repertoire executive. Nafisa has an interesting journey, from hosting a radio show at Unilag FM, then moving into music, and working with great artists like Simi, Praise, and other acts at Extreme Music.
I like to identify as a Lagos girl, but... I'm pretty sure people who know me would probably have guns aimed at me right now.
Okay.
Nafisa is originally from Borno State, Nigeria, but I was born and brought up in Lagos.
Yeah.
And from a very young age, I've been that child who has always known what she wanted. So from a very young age, I always wanted to be a journalist, be a broadcaster, basically be on TV or radio. So... Mm-hmm. Basically, Nafisa, born and brought up in Lagos State, schooled in Lagos, went to University of Lagos. I studied mass communication and
That qualifies you to be a Lagos girl.
Well, I don't think so, because today, if I stand up and say I want to contest for maybe one local government chairman, they will ask me, even though my birth certificate says Lagos, I'm pretty sure I would lose.
The whole tribal thing.
That's another topic for another day.
I can't think of any other person to have it with, because you're really opinionated.
We have to have that discussion some other time.
Cool stuff. I can't wait. So how was your journey into A&R? Like, how did you move into the music space? Because I know previously you weren't really into the music space yet, so you moved into the music space and you're dominating. So how did you like move in there?
So to be honest, music has always been a part of my culture. If I'm to tell a story about myself, I would probably write it from a musical angle. Imagine a documentary that starts with, or a movie series that starts with a song and then the story comes in. That would literally be my life, because from a very young age, I always mapped out certain events in my life with music. So I can't say that music for me just started as a career. That's always been a part of me. So even when I gravitated towards broadcast while I was in secondary school, all the way into the university, when I decided to study mass communication, I think that the strongest force has always been music. So when I was a broadcast student, I would get so excited when I'm interning on the radio programs that were music shows, because it gives me an opportunity to hear new music and critique them, analyze what made it good or what made it bad, what the artist should have done better. So to be honest, I didn't just wake up and become an A&R. It was a journey from studying mass comm, becoming a broadcaster. I dabbled into TV presenting for a bit, and then I even did some product reviews for certain mobile brands. And I came back to my first love, which is music, and that's how I came about being an A&R at Extreme Music.
Yeah, and I don't think you're leaving that very soon.
Oh, no. I used to say that my passion is broadcast. But lately, it's a bit confusing, because it's beginning to seem like the original passion is music, and then music birthed my love for broadcast.
I believe there's going to be a meeting point for the both of them. Yeah,
I see that happening very soon. In fact,
yeah, cool. Looking at the place you are here, I think it feels like just like over time there have been these balls around producers not getting enough credit, right? Mm-hmm. You're not getting enough credit. Most likely, that would possibly be the reason why you're going to want to go into broadcasting, because you want to put yourself out there, get all the credit that you can, and all those kinds of things. But is there any struggle in your space? Like, you guys are not getting enough credit.
So I think that if you ask or interview any A&R in the business, they would tell you that they are fine being the ones behind the curtains and directing the whole thing, ensuring that everything goes according to plan and the artist gets the amount of publicity / mileage that he could possibly get.
Okay.
We're content being the people behind the camera, because at the end of the day, what matters is seeing a talent that you found making his or her impact on the world.
That's really thoughtful and what word should I use? That's really thoughtful of you guys to want to be behind the stage and all, because I thought
producers would want to be there in front of the camera.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, you don't necessarily have to be in front of the camera. You just find a place where possibly you can get royalties and all of that.
Also, sure, to be honest, the average A&R. Gets royalty.
Cool stuff.
Yes, it just depends on. So there's situations where an A&R works with a record label, and then they could either be getting royalty off of every new artist that they break or that they bring and sign to the record label. Mm-hmm. And there are also situations where the A&R is not working with a record label, but they're working with a particular artist. It could be an artist that they found, an up-and-coming artist, and then they signed them and decided to be their A&R and all of that.
Yeah.
And basically, it's not really a case of fighting to get royalties. It's just dependent on what you want. Some people want to be paid salaries, but in this new age that we're in, what we're even demanding now is equity.
Equity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Equity is like royalties, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much like royalty.
Okay. I guess you've had influence from somewhere. Do you think your love for music came from there?
If I would... To be honest, my love for music probably came from my dad. Because growing up, he played lots of music. I remember listening to the Commodores, and my dad had this crazy dance, and whenever rap or hip-hop songs came on and I was jamming to them, my dad would be like, I know a song that's better than this one. And he would play a song that was basically popping. Yeah, she would play a song that was popping when he was younger. So it was a competition between my dad and I. And from there, I would say the person that I had the most impact with, this might sound cliche because almost every girl my age probably had the same feeling, was Usher.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Some reason, I cannot get past Usher of early 2000 all the way till now.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Really? Yeah. Till now? He doesn't have any new rock here.
He does, but basically my love for R&B started with the likes of Usher. Yes.
You've worked for different artists, yeah. One of the most outstanding is Praise.
Praise and Simi.
Praise and Simi. And you're doing a great job with Praise. I've seen a whole lot you've done for Praise. And Simi is out now, but Simi was popping when she was at Extreme.
Extreme
Music. She was popping. She was doing great, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you consider as your biggest accomplishment while you were working with the both of them?
To be honest, one would expect that I would say when Praise won the Headies for Under the Sky. Under the Sky is a track off of his album, the last album he did with Extreme Music, which is titled The King Album. And
oh yeah,
the King album is a very personal album to me. I don't think that there's any album that would be made in this life that would top the King album for me.
That's cool.
Yes, because I worked on that project from start to finish, from the execution to the conceptualization to the execution to the distribution. So I put in my sweat and my blood. It was a passion project for me, and I'm very proud of it. And for it to be recognized at the Headies, it was nominated for Best R&B Album. And then the track Under the Sky was also won for Best Vocalist. So, I mean, that's super proud. But I would say the greatest accomplishment working with Praise was on the same track, actually, Under the Sky, when we shot the video. So I was the lead creative producer on that track. And that's like my proudest credit so far.
Oh, cool. Oh, you're giving credit. Sounds really great.
Absolutely. So I don't think, anyway, the only thing that would maybe top this is a Grammy win. But
I can't wait. I'll pull this out and put it at the roof.
Absolutely, because Burna Boy has paved the way, and
I feel like
this is it for all of us. Like
that would be about the Grammy. That would be a topic on its own, rare. It has to be, because what Burna Boy has done for Africa and Nigeria, it shows that you can be anything as long as you believe you, as long as you believe in yourself. Yeah?
Absolutely. There's literally no limit to what you can achieve when you put your mind to it.
When you put your mind to it, like backing a Grammy after believing you're going to do that, calling yourself African giant. That didn't win him the Grammy twice as tall came, and then that's what he used to back.
And let's not forget the value of knowing your own value cannot be overstressed, especially in the case of Burna Boy, because you remember when he was booked to perform at Coachella, and his name was written in tiny fonts.
Sometimes people might mistaken that for
pride,
for arrogance and pride. Yes. Yeah,
it's not. It's just knowing your worth and what you bring to the table, and demanding to be given the respect that you deserve.
Yeah.
He took it back and he said, "You can't be referring to me. You see that you changed the font, or I'm not performing." And guess what? If we check how much they paid Burna Boy to perform on that stage, it's probably more than anybody else has paid him on any stage. However,
he had to demand for what he wanted.
Most important to Burna Boy is the respect.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Outstanding stuff. Mm-hmm. Really. It was like he totally believed in himself so much that he took it international.
And he brought back the Grammy.
Yeah, and all his moves, starting from there, down to like where he started getting that recognition, it looked really intentional, because now you see back and say, whoa, this was like a master plan.
Brilliant. Absolutely. It's an actual master plan.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So Nafisa, what advice would you give like aspiring songwriters aspiring songwriters, right? And then aspiring A&R executives.
And even aspiring up-and-coming artists.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of advice that I could give. Mm. But I think that the one that affects a lot of creatives across board is getting fazed by what other people are doing. In the industry that we're in now, currently, Afrobeats is the rave. There are other genres of music, but every artist, every singer wants to do Afrobeats. Every writer wants to do Afrobeats. Every producer wants to major in Afrobeats. But the truth is, what you need to do is find your path. Find the type of content that you'd like to create, that you enjoy creating. that makes you feel good and continue to create. Just continue to create. And we're in an environment where people just say, I just won't hammer, I just won't blow. Mm. But it really doesn't matter who blows first or who hammers first. Just believe in your hustle and put in the work.
Cool. So, speaking of believing in your hustle and sticking to your own path, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Asani's recent song, was it a single, about Thunder,
Thunder Fire.
I know you're a fan. I know you're a fan. But wait, I actually thought the reaction people are going to people's reaction to that song in particular is not going to be really positive, yeah, because they were looking at how that song will affect his own brand, his personal brand, and how people are going to relate with it, because it sounded personal and it sounded like he was out against a certain girl.
Yeah, pretty much. To be honest, that to me, I'm a Rick Asani fan. Anybody who knows me knows I'm like a major Rick Asani fan. I think that I think even Rick Asani knows I'm a major fan. Anyway,
I'm aware. I've seen pictures of you.
Yeah,
with him. Yeah.
Anyway, pertaining to this song, "Thunder Fire You," to me, it's the most relatable heartbreak song I've ever heard in my life. Because let's be honest, when we go through heartbreaks, we're not singing, oh, I want you back, I'm in pain. Especially when it's the other person that hurts us. What is actually going on in our minds for the first 1 week, 2 weeks is, Thunder Fire You. So it's quite relatable. And to now find that the NBC banned it from radio was quite helpful radio and TV was quite helpful because, you know, we have songs with worse content by bigger artists that are being let go. And is this a vile song? I don't think so. Thunder Fire You.
I guess it's just the course.
we can't. This is open to interpretation because we technically can't say it's a curse. It's a slang in Nigeria, Thunder Fire You. You could be saying it as a joke. But does Rick Asani actually have the power to command thunder to fire somebody? I don't think so. So it's a little bit, I was very disappointed. But the great thing about this is that we're in a digital age where the NBC banning the song does not affect how much money comes into Rick Asani's pocket because
everybody's streaming.
The only thing it does is we're not going to hear it while we're driving and we're not going to see it on TV. But beyond that, he's got a great record label endorsement deal with an international record label and publishing deal. They're going to push the song and it's going to do well digitally. And for an artist, whether or not people even stream the song, the kind of PR and attention that he got at the time is well worth it. So if I was Rick Asani, I would take advantage of it and release more heartbreak songs.
I don't think it's going to hurt his brand at all.
At all.
It's just
it won't hurt his brand. If anything, it has made us connect with him more.
More, because all his songs, judging from all his songs, right, they go in the same line. They have the same story, right? I've been hurt so many times. Mm-hmm. And I want you
for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But to be honest, his songs are always serenading women. This is the first time Rick Asani is angry that a woman hurt him.
Totally. I thought about it, so I had to, mention it. So what are the parameters you use when you're picking an artist?
So this is usually not on the charts, but in the case of Nigeria, it has to be on the charts. A level-headed individual, someone who's not proud. Because we find in this industry that we're in that pride easily just ruins an artist. You have to be level-headed. You have to be able to calm down and think straight in situations and act intelligently. But beyond that, as an A&R on a professional level, obviously we look for talent. We look for someone who's doing something different or better than what is already being done. And we look for someone who can be commercial, because in these days, it's not just about having the talent. You have to be the total package. You have to be presentable. You have to be smart enough to speak when we get you endorsement deals with brands. You have to be able to represent brands, not just yourself or the record label. So these are just a few points, a few touch points that we have to consider when finding and signing an artist.
Oh, so the artist has to tick all those parameters.
You have to tick all of those. Wow. Otherwise,
most of our big artists don't, you know.
So that's the reason why we keep seeing situation things like, oh, one hit wonder, or he just had that one good song and he's gone.
Yeah.
You have to be able to, as an artist, redefine yourself, keep growing. And that's the reason why you see the likes of Burna Boy, Davido, Wizkid are doing exceptionally well, because for every new vibe that's in town, that's anywhere in the world, as far as people are jamming to it, you will see a Davido will jump on it, a Burna Boy will jump on it, a Wizkid will jump on it.
You're not going to say that about Wizkid. I'm not going to say that about Wizkid.
Actually, I will. If you think about it, so a lot of people actually underestimate Wizkid, but when they sit back and begin to listen to his songs from the Superstar album, they give him a different kind of respect. I know that in the industry, we tend to forget. But trust me, if I begin to play Wizkid songs for you from the times when Wizkid was singing Oya Funke Bakurimo, and the Wizkid that dropped the Made in Lagos album, do you see that that's two entirely different vibes?
That's true.
Or the Wizkid that was on a Beyonce track. That was an out-of-the-box Wizkid that most people didn't even see. Beyonce has never done a duet with any artist, and she did it with Wizkid. So there are barriers that these artists are breaking, that things that have never happened before in the history of Africa, that these people are doing, and they are holding their own. It's not a case where an African artist partners with an international artist, and then that international artist swallows them up. These guys are holding their own and owning the songs.
Yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because of over time, why I said that about Wizkid was that Wizkid doesn't look like someone that really jump on trends, right?
Actually, he does.
Because he's made in Lagos.
Give me any genre that's popular right now, and I'll give reference a Wizkid track that has already been done. There's literally no... Is it Amapiano? He has done it. Yeah. Afrobeat is on top of it. R&B. Maybe Lagos album was R&B. Superstar album was a mixture of R&B, Afropop, and Afrobeat. Anyway, Wizkid has really touched on a lot, and it's very easy for people to forget, because there's a whole lot of content for us to consume out there, especially with the new guys.
A whole lot. Like we were all singing Davido. Like yesterday, and overnight we were like, why did you win the Grammy? Mm-hmm. Davido don't know if you win Grammy and all this shit. You feel like Davido have not been like impressing us over time. Mm-hmm. He just Grammy. He might win it next year.
So the honest truth is, I don't see a Davido winning the Grammys. You know why?
Why is that?
So Burna Boy winning the Grammys, but you know how you said everything with Burna Boy was deliberate. You have to be deliberate. You have to have the right team. Not that Davido doesn't have a good team with him, but their goals are different. I'm not sure that Davido has said anywhere that he wanted to win a Grammy or that his goal is to win a Grammy. So to that extent, Davido is not even focused on trying to create content for the Grammys. The Twice as Tall album was specifically for the Grammys, because as an A&R and as a listener, as a fan, I know for a fact that the African Giants album was way better than Twice as Tall. However,
Twice as Tall, yeah, that's true.
As an A&R, I respect the amount of work, research that went into that album, because when I look at it professionally, every collaboration, from the Diddy collaboration to the Coldplay guy on the album, every single African that was on that album, it was deliberate. There was a target audience. There was research put into it. In fact, the reach for Twice as Tall album within Africa alone was bigger than the reach that African Giants album had. So,
wow.
So you know that it was specific. It was for the Grammys. So now, what this has done, what this Twice as Tall Grammy win has done for us is, it has taught us that we need to work to gain this recognition. However, the difference now is, Burna Boy has made it so much so that our generation now has a seat at the table. We never did. Last year, when the African Giants album was nominated and Angelique Kidjo won that category, Angelique Kidjo, we respect her and we know that she's Mama Africa, but she also knew that Burna Boy deserved the album as much as she did. And that's the reason why she dedicated her win to Burna Boy. And what that did for Africa and for the music industry at large is tell them, that's the people in the West, the people on the Grammy board, tell them that you guys are not doing your homework, you're not paying attention, you're not listening.
Grammy is big on racist, sexist, and all that.
Exactly.
People,
so. And beyond that, on the voting board, there's something called like a voting board for the Grammys. So across the entire continent, there are a few people who are qualified. They're usually people who are who have made their mark in the industry, in the music industry, that can be nominated to be able to cast a vote in every category for the Grammys. So so it's kind of like the American Electoral College. So imagine, you know, the Electoral College has a process where specific people cast votes to represent their constituents and all of that. So it is very similar. In Nigeria, I think only this year there was about five or seven. I think they're not more than eight. And that needs to change. There's a bunch of us who are qualified to be able to vote in the Grammys. We need to do the research and be there, grab a seat on the table so that we can now have a voice. The people that have a voice on the Grammy board don't even connect with African content. They are still connecting with the Fellas, the Angelique Kidjo, the, you know, the old people, our parents' generation. And Burna has made it so that they will now pay attention to new music, Afrobeats, and any other type of amapiano, any other type of music that comes out of Africa.
Yeah, that's totally true. Totally true, yeah. So, Afisha, I guess you have like lots of artists you're working on at the moment. What artists do you have on the radar right now?
So, currently, I'm not at liberty to say.
Really? You're supposed to hype your artist.
Yeah, so I can't hype an artist that we're in talks with, especially when contracts are about to be signed. Unveil them officially. But in general, with the coming of Rema, Fireboy, Oxlade, Buju, you know, Joe Boy, bunch of them, they've also opened the door wide open for upcoming artists to be able to do more and basically get their music out there. So there's a whole lot of new talent on the ground that are waiting to be discovered. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So none that you've signed that you want to
sign? None that I've signed, but there's a northern artist called DJ AB that is doing fantastic in the north right now.
And
we will find ways to bring him to national recognition, first of all, and then global.
Okay. Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, they're like a few upcoming artists, I guess, in the south.
Mm-hmm.
Dandeezy, I don't know if you've
heard. I have. He has popped up on my radar a couple of times. He's doing fantastic. Oh, really?
Outstanding.
Yes, style. Just needs to keep working on his craft and honing his craft until that time comes.
Yeah, totally. Like, looking at Dandeezy, it feels like the amount of work he's putting into promoting himself, like Black Bones.
It's interesting that you mentioned Black Bones, because Black Bones, in my opinion, is one of the artists that has understood the importance of always staying relevant, always being in the eye of the people. And
totally,
because if Black Bones wasn't making all the moves and wasn't always on social media jumping on every conversation, trust me, half of the people that know his music wouldn't know his music. Because if you listen to Black Bones' music and you follow him on Instagram, you're like, who's this clown? His music is a bit more serious than what he's doing on social media.
But yeah, the guy is like that lockdown period.
He entertained us.
It felt like we were locked into a room and Black Bone was entertaining throughout.
And to be honest, that's the kind of energy that up and coming artists need to have. You can't be so one thing that pisses A&Rs off is, so our emails are consistently flooded with songs and links to videos, to songs that up-and-coming artists have already created or finished, basically, and uploaded on digital music streaming platforms. And sometimes when we go to these platforms, it's not even a song that they did, it's a song that they featured on. And other times, they will send us links to their social media. And this one is even the most annoying one. When an artist sends you links to their social media, you would assume that their social media, you would go there and find out more about the artist. Your social media, Instagram bio, for instance, should have links to your work. I should click once and it takes me to a unified link, a page where I can click on every streaming platform and have access to your music. And when I look at your Instagram page, I should see content that is relevant to your music. You can't be an up-and-coming artist and your Instagram, when I go there, I'm seeing naked girls. Yes. I'm like, okay, misplaced priority. So things like that, it's a conflict of interest. You can't be a serious artist and then you're not, your social media is not reflecting that, because these days across almost every single genre of music or job description, these days our social media is our resume.
That's the thing. I posted about that some days ago, where people feel like, okay, this social media is a personal thing. I do what
No,
I
it's not.
It's supposed to be your digital footprint, right? When someone see that, they know everything about you. They know who you are.
You know what's interesting about me is my social media, I like to post a less serious version of me on my Instagram status. And then my Instagram page itself usually has pictures of me when I'm working, or content that I've worked on. A couple of times I've been in, and bear in mind, my name is Nafisa, but my Instagram page is Nafi. And Nafi happens to be the name that only people who are close to me call me. So I can't count how many times I've been in public spaces and people would say, hi, Nafi. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, this one is either a family friend or or family. When I turn around, I see a stranger and I'm like, I don't know you. How do you know my name is Nafi and not Nafisa? You know, and they say, oh, I follow you on Instagram. Yeah. I see your content. And then, especially when it's artist talent, they'll be like, oh, I'd like you to check this out. And instantly we connect. Yeah. And that is what your social media platform should be able to do for you. Connect you to people within your space. So unless you're modeling, you're being deliberate about your posts, every single thing you do, then you're not going to reach the right kind of people.
So what's your goal for the next quarter or the next year?
Truthfully, 2020-2021 has been hectic. It has come as, at first it was a shock, and then it was like, okay, the shock is dying down. What am I doing? I'm now beginning to settle down and figuring out what next to do. And so taking into consideration the impact that COVID has had on the whole world at large, I think that my goals for the next 3 years is now going fully digital, because that's literally the future. We cannot continue to function the way that we used to function anymore. We need to find ways to make money while we're in our bedrooms. We don't necessarily have to go out there and scout. These days, we don't even scout for talent in pubs or at bars, open mics and all of that. We now basically scout for talent online, on social media, using certain hashtag. I could just put up and coming artists or R&B singer Lagos and boom, it's out. R&B singer Joss or rapper Kaduna, and you would begin to scout for talent. And this still brings me back to up and coming artists utilizing their social media effectively. So basically, for me, the next three or more years, we do, at Extreme Music, we're working on a project that I will not reveal right now, but you will know. Maybe I'll come back here and discuss it. It's basically going to revolutionize how we unveil artists and how artists get paid in the industry. It's going to basically create structure in the music industry, and I'm very excited for it.
Wow, that's really cool project you're handling. Yeah. So Nafisa, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Yeah, I'd like to have you on the podcast next time, probably when you win the Grammy or when you unveil.
You know that Grammy is going to happen. I'm very, very excited for it.
Sure, I'm certain it will.
I mean, Bona said it and it happened, so we might as well say it too.
Yeah.
At least.
I can't wait. Then, be assertive.
You then would be the Imo Stylers, the one, the host, award-winning Grammy host. Because you see, with Bona Boy's win, everybody was finding ways to associate with it.
That came out
because my artist Praise has a song with Burna Boy. It's called 69. So technically, I'm also a partner award-winning Grammy. I'll be Grammy award-winning associate.
Like you can push that. Like maybe not at your level, because your level is like up there. You don't need all those farms in. But at our level, we'll do sponsored posts.
So I interviewed the Grammy winning A&R Nafisa Abdul.
So great stuff, Nafisa. Thanks for coming. Yeah, we'll talk another time.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, cheers. Bye.